Hi there, I'm Keith Cawley, and this is Thrive, a Bridgestone Americas podcast where we explore our company through compelling conversations with teammates across our organization. Bridgestone is known to many around the world as a leader in tires, rubber, and sustainable mobility solutions, but those primary areas of business may not always be the first point of reference for people when it comes to the Bridgestone brand. Golf is a primary example. If you've listened to the podcast before, no doubt you've heard at least a few of our guests, whether teammates or external partners, mention that their first awareness of Bridgestone came from our golf balls. We get asked a lot why a tire company also makes golf balls and golf products, and vice versa. The reality is there are several very logical reasons for that connection, both from a company DNA perspective as well as a science and technology perspective. Today, we talk to Dan Murphy, president of Bridgestone Golf, about why golf makes sense for Bridgestone, how we work with some of the game's greatest players, and where the golf business is going in the future. We hope you enjoy this conversation. Well, we are joined today in studio here by a man who is probably would like to play more golf than he talks about golf, but I think many of us are in that category, but we're always excited to talk about golf and Bridgestone Golf with Dan Murphy, president of Bridgestone Golf, here at the table with us. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Keith. I can't believe I've made it to your podcast. This is so exciting.
We've had some correspondence over the last couple of years. I am always up for talking golf, and I think it's high time that we explore the business and where it lies.
I feel like this has been leading up for the last 30 years of my career is to get to this moment right now with you.
I think that you say that, but I think it's me calling your people. I don't have people, so I have to work through Dan's people to get Dan on the show here. But
my people are your people.
We're all the same group of people. But Dan is president of Bridgestone Golf. I think a lot of people that I always run into, you know, when you say you work for Bridgestone, there's a couple of different entry points on how they recognize the Bridgestone brand. Certainly global tire company here in Nashville. We have the arena, and a lot of people recognize that locally in the community as well. But you come across a lot of people in the sports space that they're like, oh, the golf ball, the golf company. And that's another entry point for people.
Well, it is. I remember an executive that was recruited to Bridgestone Tire, and he told me the story of getting a call from a recruiter, and the recruiter said, hey, would you think about working for Bridgestone? And he said, the golf company? And he was one of your senior executives. So, you know, I love that story because it was symbolic of what we provide to the company. You know, we're a for-profit business. We make money. But we also provide a lot of brand exposure for the company, and we're very proud of that. I love to come up to Nashville and walk the tower, and I'm like Santa Claus with a pack and giving out two ball sleeves of golf balls because it's so much fun, and it's how I make friends.
There you go. It's always a good starting point, an icebreaker in the conversation. Before we start into maybe the history of Bridgestone Golf and where it fits in the company, learn a little bit maybe about you. What's been your career journey to the point where you're at now leading Bridgestone Golf?
Well, it's interesting maybe that that I'm involved in golf and have been for a long time because I didn't grow up in golf. I was a blue-collar kid from New Jersey. My dad was a plumber, and golf wasn't a big deal in our family.
There's only so many months a year in New Jersey you can play golf.
We played basketball and baseball, and so we were all sports nuts, but golf was a little bit more out of reach for us.
Yeah.
I went to Wake Forest University in North Carolina. I got a big break to get out of Jersey, go to Wake Forest, and was introduced to golf there. You know, it's a big golf school. They won the NCAA tournament in 1986, so it was exciting times in golf.
This is basketball. That's golf.
That was golf they won. Yeah. Okay. So it was really good. Yeah. Arnold Palmer went to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And so it had a great golf tradition, and that sort of was my introduction. After college, I didn't get into golf immediately. I went to the grocery products business, worked for General Mills in sales and marketing, always in consumer products. And then in the mid-90s, I switched over to golf. You know, again, being a sports fan, a sports fanatic, I had the opportunity to get into golf. And so I've kind of approached golf and positioned myself now as more of a business guy in golf than a playing guy in golf. And, you know, we haven't played. We did play together.
Yeah, we played together.
And so you remember my game. It's not.
I think both of our games are both forgettable at the moment. That's probably the best way to describe this.
I mean, I have a lot of passion for it. I love it. I do it all. I play a lot. I brought my kids up in golf. I got a son that's a really good player, and so I love it, and it's part of our family. But yeah, I missed a little bit of that early building block of golf, but yeah. I love it.
With Bridgestone, what's kind of been your journey through getting up to president now? How long have you been with Bridgestone Golf?
Well, I joined Bridgestone in 2004, okay. So I was in the golf business before with Max Fly Golf and mm-hmm. TaylorMade Golf and Dunlop Golf, and had different positions there. My big break in my career came in 2004. I was recruited to come over to Bridgestone as the director of marketing, and the project that I was given was really a juicy, fun project, mm-hmm. which was launch the Bridgestone golf brand. Mm-hmm. Previous to 2005, when we launched, the brand was marketed under the Precept brand,
yep.
and maybe some folks remember that. There was a decision made, and I was really excited about it because it came with more resource, and to me, made more sense was that golf's function within the company was partly branding,
yeah.
and so to brand ourselves with the Bridgestone brand made more sense. So it was a really exciting time, and so it came in 2004. We launched in 2005. We grew dramatically through those years, and there was a lot of fun, crazy things that happened along the way with pros and promotions and how we differentiated ourselves in the early years. And so we're pretty well established now. I kind of grew in the organization, went from director of marketing to sales and marketing VP. I actually wandered away from the company for 3 years, from 2015 to 2018. And when I came back, I was invited back to take the president's job, which has been an adventure all through the pandemic and post-pandemic, and we can get into all that. But it's been a wild ride and a wonderful ride.
Yeah. Well, there's two paths I think we can go here, right, which is background on why golf for Bridgestone and why how it started in the company and how we got here. And so maybe we table that for a moment to talk about the golf industry, right, as a whole. Because I think, you know, a lot of our listeners maybe in, you know, with Bridgestone or beyond are in the automotive industry. They're comfortable with this world of mobility. And they're like, well, what is the golf industry doing? But you talk about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. While there are industries that had severe negative impacts maybe across those couple of years, golf's pretty much the opposite, right? It was a huge boom, and that has continued for the most part.
Well, we measure golf's popularity in rounds played, the number of times people go out and play. And 528 million times in 2023, folks teed it up and got onto a green grass golf course. And that's the highest number ever. There was another surge way back in around 2000 when Tiger Woods came on.
Somebody recognizable. Yeah.
We like him. He came on to the scene and really brought a lot of new golfers to the golf course, and that was a great surge. Golf participation went up about 15% from 98 to 99. And so that kind of eroded. That stayed high at a nice elevated plateau, 1 or 2% up or down, all the way to the financial crisis. And then golf went through kind of a doldrum, a whole decade of doldrums, all the way from about 2010 to 19. And, you know, things were just kind of, it lost its appeal. It wasn't quite as cool as it could be. And then in 19, Tiger came back. He won the Masters, which made me cry that day. I'll never forget it. Tiger won the Masters. And then in 2020, things really exploded. When we were all locked in our house and we couldn't get out and we were isolated a bit, golf offered a breath of fresh air for folks. They could get out, social distance properly, but get out and be with friends and get some recreation and get out of the house. And so golf surged. I remember it very distinctly. It was April of 2020 and everything shut down. Our plant in Covington, Georgia shut down for 3 weeks. But we got going at the end of April again, and then it was May of 2020. It was an oh my goodness moment,
and we got a lot of product we got to get going.
And people went to the golf course and played, and it was really fueled by two things. One was the pandemic caused the surge, but also there's a very higher level of off-course golf being played, mm-hmm. you know, like Top Golf and simulator golf.
Yeah.
And that has become a feeder system into the off-course or onto the on-course golf participation level. So, you know, those two things kind of happened. Off-course was happening, and then the pandemic happened. And then where we've been, so here we are in 2024, We didn't know what would happen. Would 2020 spike and come back down? Would people go back to the office? Would they lose interest in golf? And the answer so far has been absolutely not. People are out on the golf course. They're banging golf balls all around, and our business has sustained and become very good. As a matter of fact, we saw 23 grow over 22, which we at the time didn't really think would happen.
Okay. Well, hey, it's healthy and booming and gives us a lot of excitement to look forward to. And in the world of Bridgestone itself, right, I think there's all of this history and lore. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge when you said that when Tiger won the Masters, you cried. I've also heard some stories about Dan Murphy maybe on top of desks excitedly shouting, rallying the employees of Bridgestone Golf around that celebration, because Tiger, of course, won with a Bridgestone golf ball when he returned to Augusta. But we don't need to get into all those details.
I have been known to get on a desk from time to time. I'm happy to do it right here and now if you want me to.
We'll save it. Let's get through some of the main dialogue that we need to explore, and then we'll celebrate at the end.
I think I need a ladder to get me up there now.
I definitely need a step stool. There's no doubt about that. But I think if we look back to the beginning for Bridgestone, why golf? How did this start with our company, and where did it really start?
Well, we got in it from the beginning. Our company was founded in 1931, mm-hmm. and it was really shortly after that, 1935, that golf balls were introduced. And I think Ishibashi-san, our founder, saw golf as an opportunity not only for his own passion, he enjoyed the game, but also as a way to promote the product. I mean, golf is an aspirational sport, and he saw that as an opportunity to promote golf, much like we use it today.
Yeah. And I know, like, we talk about the history of the Firestone brand as well. While they didn't get into golf balls and manufacturing product, they did have Firestone Country Club, which is still kind of a mainstay on, professional golf circuits and an iconic location in the sport. There's a Bridgestone Country Club that is in Kurame outside of our original founding plant in Japan. So ingrained in this kind of baseline of the company, yeah.
Absolutely, and there's been a Bridgestone golf tournament, sponsored golf tournament, since 1972 in Japan, the Bridgestone Open. And so it's been part of the DNA of the company for quite a long time. And you think about it, sometimes when I run into people and tell them I work for Bridgestone Golf, they say, Bridgestone tires, golf, I don't get it. Why do those two things coexist? It doesn't seem to make sense. And when I explain it, it makes perfect sense, and it's all about polymer science.
Yeah.
Right, the way that a golf ball interacts in a very violent split second moment with a golf club is very similar to how a tire interacts with the road surface in a very split second moment. That and both of them are dependent on polymer science to do the right thing and perform the way that they're intended to do.
Yeah.
Golf is you hit a good shot or a bad shot, but tires, obviously, the stakes are much higher, and it's about safety And so performance is really the common element.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the questions that I wanted to explore, because I think we talk about the level of research and development and science that goes into the production of something that people hold in their hand and seemingly think is simple, like a golf ball. The same way that people look at a tire and it's like it's black and round and rubber, there's not much in that. But the science behind it is a connecting thread, and it starts whether it's rubber or when you think about what's inside the golf ball, there's a lot more to connect to there from a tire perspective.
Absolutely, yeah, a lot more. And even on the outside of the golf ball, we a lot of folks never think about why a golf ball has dimples. Why does a tire have treads? And there's a lot of similarities. It helps perform in the way you want. A dimple on a golf ball helps aerodynamics, much like a wing on an airplane creates aerodynamics that allows the wing and the airplane to have lift. So does a dimple on a golf ball. So it's very technically driven, and our dimple technologists are kind of amazing. They have wind tunnels. They figure out how to make a golf ball fly a little bit further by tweaking the dimples in a certain way.
That's a title to aspire to right there. A dimple technologist is not a role and a title that I knew existed. I have to imagine they're very brilliant engineer, scientist type people, but I would aspire to be a dimple technologist one day. That sounds all right.
You're not done yet.
I got a lot of life left to live here, Dan. But maybe as you think about talking about that development of golf balls, right, from... We don't have to get too technical, but I think from 1935 to 90 years, pretty much, there probably is a significant change in the way golf balls are built, constructed. if you hit a golf ball from 1935 right now, is that just a pack of dust on impact? How does how have things moved over
time?
They
certainly have changed over time, and Bridgestone's really been at the forefront, as they have been in all of their product categories, at the forefront of technology and leading with product and product innovation. And the same is true for golf balls. I suppose probably one of the most dramatic changes in golf balls was when golf balls were, they used to be wound. Mm. So it used to be a rubber or a liquid center, and then there was windings, much like a baseball when you took a baseball apart. And those were rubber bands would cause the rebound of the ball after impact and create distance. But it was really inconsistent to wind a golf ball. And in the 90s, Bridgestone led the way with Nick Price and Nick Faldo using solid golf balls. Hmm. So the first time, instead of wound golf balls, they were solid. So that core was covered with a solid mantle layer rather than the winding. So that was a huge innovation. And so everybody kind of ran hard after that. And it was an innovation that really took hold on solid golf balls when Tiger Woods picked up a golf ball that was solid, and that was the year 2000. And we were part of that. A little known story, a little inside baseball for you. Don't tell anybody outside of Bridgestone this one.
Oh, well, this goes on YouTube, so I can't really control that. So.
I think we'll be okay, because our man Tiger Woods tells the story himself. But
we're just quoting him. These are his words.
We're just quoting Tiger Woods. He's been playing a golf ball that was manufactured by Bridgestone since the year 2000. Hmm. If you can add all that up, we were involved with his golf ball from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he came to us directly in 2016. And you talk about R&D. I mean, not only do we have great engineers in polymer science, we borrow a lot of technology and share a lot of technology with the tire side. But our players, Tiger Woods, for example, is an amazing technology opportunity to help us design a golf ball that's better than the other guys. He's a machine in and of himself. Our technicians go out with a lot of computers, and the computers measure everything you can imagine. When he hits a golf ball, it takes a picture of the golf ball, and we have radar and such, and TrackMan. And it measures everything from launch angle, spin rate, ball speed, distance, everything. And Tiger plays a little bit of a game when he's hitting golf balls on the machine, and he calls back his distances and his launch angles and his ball speeds to the technician, who looks at him on the screen and either confirms or denies, and it's invariably Tiger's right. So
wow.
Even amongst tour pros that get paid to play golf for a living, he's in a class of his own when it comes to researching and developing and helping us make great golf balls.
It's an insane level of like feel and in touchness with your motion and the impact, the how it feels in your hand, and like that's crazy to be able to be that accurate on judging the distance every strike.
Yeah, he talks a lot about his feels.
Yeah.
He uses that word feels.
Sure.
He talks a lot about his windows when he's testing a golf ball, where he sees it flying, at what distance away from himself. Where's his window? Where's the ball supposed to be 20 yards and 30 yards away from him on a wedge or a driver? And he's got it all internalized.
Yeah, and I want to get into a little bit of working with Tiger and other players on the R&D. But real quick, a little bit of in the U.S., it's Covington, Georgia, is where all of you for Bridgestone Golf are based, where we're making the golf balls. Can you give a little bit of that footprint of what's in Covington?
Sure.
But also globally, right? Do we have activities in Japan, and what does the business look like?
There's two manufacturing locations for Bridgestone Golf Balls, Sekki, Japan. And then the one that I'm involved with is Covington, Georgia. So it's just to the east of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I welcome anybody to come for a tour. Please come.
I highly recommend. It's
You've
a fun
been.
Place to walk around and experience, yeah.
But what you would find there if you came for a tour, we'd be able to show you. It's a 110,000 square feet facility. It's similar to a tire plant in that the process, it starts with raw rubber, gets extruded, gets vulcanized, gets finished, and then gets packaged. That's a very simplistic version, obviously.
There's only four steps and nothing in between, yes, of course.
My manufacturing guy would not like that description.
We've got a list of notes coming. We'll explain better, yes, of course.
Tune into the video. And then out back behind the plant, we have a test facility. We have three holes of golf. It's beautifully manicured, beautiful azaleas and plants and flowers. It's a monarch butterfly Sanctuary.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cool place. And we have tour pros will come out there and get tuned up. We do a lot of testing out there. We've got an Iron Byron, which is a mechanical hitting machine.
Okay.
It's kind of cool, and we can put on a nice show.
So as we talk about, I mean, I've seen the robot, the automatic hitting machine, I guess. Iron Byron?
Iron Byron.
Iron Byron is the name, but it is a cool thing to see, and it helps, obviously, with that consistency. But you put him and Tiger Woods side by side, and it's basically the same thing, right?
That's true.
The consistency in the machine and the robot. But on that R&D, research and development on working with players, right? I find that incredibly fascinating because we've heard some of the stories like that about Tiger Woods and how meticulous he is about all of it. You've worked with, in the past, Bryson DeChambeau, who is known to be very, you know, scientifically focused. It's what his study was in school at SMU. And I've heard stories about him floating golf balls in bathtubs of Epsom salt to test different theories of his own when he was picking a golf ball.
Well, he's trying to see which ones were centered when he did that.
Yeah.
So Epsom salt will allow a ball to float. And what he would do is he would let the ball float and then spin it. And wherever it ended up, you know, wherever it finally rested, he'd put a dot on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that dot kept coming up the same way, he knew that it had a heavy side and a light side, and it was out of balance.
Mm.
And so what he was searching for was balance. And
yeah.
The story was that he came to Bridgestone because he took all golf balls. He's a bit of a scientific...
Yeah.
Enthusiast?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly right. Like, he's very into all the details of the science. Yeah.
And so he did it with all the different brands of golf balls, and he found that Bridgestone was the most consistent. And creating a golf ball with balance is really hard to do. You think about mass production, and every golf ball has a center and has a cover around it, and to make sure that it's centered.
Yeah.
And centered obviously is very important so that the ball performs consistently from shot to shot.
Yeah.
And he found Bridgestone to be the most consistent, and he called us, and we worked it out with him for we had a good run with Bryson.
Yeah, number of years. He successfully won a U.S. Open. He's still a force in the sport for sure. Now working with Jason Day, and I think we'll talk a little bit about this here as we get into the new products for 2024. But I mean, what is the team's approach on your end when you're talking to pros? I mean, they have so much obviously to add. Are they also naturally able to collaborate in the process, or how does that
really
work?
Without naming names, absolutely not. Some of them provide really, really good, solid feedback, and I'd put Tiger and Bryson at the head of the class there. And then some of them are more difficult to get.
Their feel, but they can't maybe articulate it all the time.
I think
Here
I am not articulating it, but yeah, similar to this. I would say that there's some there's a broad spectrum of golfers that can give us good feedback, and there's some great amateurs, non-professionals that give us amazing feedback. And you know, it's really the art and science of golf ball research and development relies heavily on machine testing. But when you put it out there with real people and real conditions, that's when you really learn a lot.
Yeah. And I know it was Tiger was the first one to start, and he was in some of the Tour B golf balls, right, starting a couple of years ago. I mean, let's talk about this new one with Jason Day, because it's a little bit of a different twist in terms of getting feedback and insight for the pros and how to approach. I've got for those on video, we've got a lot of props here, but we've also got a little display. Mindset is the new golf ball.
Right.
I'm going to let you explain kind of how
all
this works.
We're really excited about the 2024 ball, and by the way, it's off to a good start. So that
excites
me the most.
Off and running already.
Yes. Knock on wood, right? Knock on wood. But no, it's been really well received, and the story on it is new technology inside and new technology outside. We still believe golf balls can get better on the inside. Our polymer science, in the case of the 24 ball, is improved. It's improved specifically around the cover. The cover, we call it a smart cover. And essentially, the polymer science allows us to have a cover that stays firm on a high impact shot and soften on a lower impact shot, which is really nice because performance-wise, it gives you the opportunity to get closer to the Holy Grail, which is long off the tee and spinny around the green, so you can have control. And that's what we're able to offer up in the 24 ball. That's the inside. And then the real news is the outside of the golf ball. And what we looked at, we're a smaller brand in the golf space, so we rely on innovation and new ideas and creativity in order to differentiate ourselves from the big guys. And one of the ways that we're doing that is we really looked at what was happening on tour over the last 30 years, the big things that happened. The first thing you think about in the 90s, golf equipment really got much more sophisticated. It got bigger. You got titanium came in, the 460cc driver, and golf equipment started to become fitted. It wasn't a one-size-fits-all. It became fitted. Yeah. And that was really a big thing in the 90s, and that happened at the tour level, and it trickled down to the consumer level. And you turn the page to the next big thing that happened. Tiger came onto the scene, 98, 99, 2000. And so from 2000 onward, golfers became athletes, right? Tiger was fit.
Intense regimen of physicality, yes.
He was fit, and everybody else on tour became fit. It became the thing to do. And now, as we see it over the last, say, 10 or 15 years, consumers have become fit. They think of it, at least, as part of their preparation to play better golf. The thing that's happening on tour now that's really exciting about and relevant to our 24 product is mindfulness, right?
The mental game.
There's a lot of mental coaches out there, and this is true in society in general, that mindfulness is more discussed and more practiced across our culture, which is great. And then in golf, it's really taken hold with mental coaches are part of the teams of a lot of the players now. They travel with a mental coach, a nutritionist, a swing coach. And so it's quite a sophisticated operation. Yeah, but
I saw your entire entourage are waiting outside the studio right now that you're traveling with. Your nutritionist and swing coach and mental coach. Yes, indeed.
My rental car.
They're all hanging out in the parking lot.
They're in the trunk, I guess. But the mindfulness is really important, and all PGA Tour players, everybody has a process, and that's the real word we're talking about, is a process to clear their mind, get themselves ready mentally to hit the best shot that they can and create consistency from one shot to the next. And so what we've done is we've noticed that everybody's doing that, including Tiger, including others, and we partnered with Jason Day, and what we've done is we've brought his process to the consumer in the form of mindset. And mindset is a technology on the outside of the golf ball. It basically allows the golfer to adopt the same process that Jason uses and the same process he used to become world number one. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a three-step process where there's a red circle. I don't know if anybody can see the...
Might be a little too... We encourage you also, when you have a chance, go to bridgestonegolf.com. There's all the information on the new golf ball. But yeah, three circles going from outside in on the side of the golf ball.
Thank you. And the outside circle is red. That symbolizes planning your shot, thinking about what is it you're trying to do. Just be purposeful and mindful about what is it you're trying to do, which sounds simple, but a lot of us on the golf course don't do that. The second one is a slightly smaller yellow circle. And that one symbolizes visualizing your shot. Think about what is the ball going to do? What's going to happen on your shot? And what does your body need to do in order to get that shot to happen, right? And then the green dot is the smallest dot in the middle, and that symbolizes focus. So just allow yourself to focus. Let your athletic self hit the golf ball the best way you can. Remove swing thoughts. Don't think about where your body weight is or where your hands are, where your elbow is, if you've turned your weight or anything. Just let your athletic self hit the ball, and that's what the green dot symbolizes. Yeah. So it's really giving the consumer the opportunity to have a process. And as we've gone out and started pitching this to consumers and to trade people, what we found is that the better player says, I know I need a process. And this helps me remember the process. And that's basically what Jason Day says about it. He says, I know I need a process. I know I have a process. Where my process breaks down is the 14th hole when I'm starting to get tired and my mind wanders. Yeah. Okay? And so what this symbol does on the golf ball, it brings me back to being able to focus on the golf ball. Mm-hmm. And then as we talk to the higher handicapper, and there's a lot of new golfers coming to golf, which is great, we find them not having a process at all. And so this mindset technology allows them to have a process, just a basic process, and understand that a process is really important. So the reception to the trade and now to the consumers, we're several months in. It's been on the shelf for a few months. And like I said, the takeaway has been very, very good. So we're really excited.
To close then, I think it's we always like to look ahead, right? It's a booming time for the sport. We've got new products out, and you are always looking at the next year ahead on like products. But what do you see for the industry, for Bridgestone Golf, I guess, that you're excited about in the coming years?
Well, I'm really excited about where golf is. And part of our mandate, I wanted to make sure we got this point across, is we're here to serve. We're here to serve bigger Bridgestone. And I'm really excited where golf is going, because I think the opportunity for us to serve is greater than ever. Yeah. Golf is booming. There's more people playing golf. There's more women playing golf. There's more youth playing golf. There's more people of color playing golf. And so golf is much more diverse than it was. And I think in that regard, it's perhaps more useful as a promotional opportunity for Bridgestone. And we want to be there in the forefront of that and really be – we want to be leveraged. We want to be used. And so I would certainly encourage any teammate that has an opportunity that you want to talk about golf, you want to use golf, you want us to get a ball-fitting team to a certain event, we're here to serve. And so I see the future being more of that. And I see us playing a bigger role as being an asset for Bridgestone.
We always look at the big picture of Bridgestone Global. We talk about the Bridgestone E8 commitment. That is something we try to connect all the areas of the business on how they really deliver on that. And emotion is a very key one for Bridgestone Golf. We talk about it with motorsports. It's the passion. You've got enthusiasts. And this is an avenue for people to connect with the brand and feel that emotion. And you serve that purpose very clearly.
Yeah. Absolutely. The E8 commitment is something we talk about often. And we do. We kind of, I think, mostly provide that emotion side, you know, in terms of what we're doing. But we do it also, you know, cash positive. So we're happy about that.
a thriving business, indeed.
Just to throw that in there.
Just to make sure we reiterate. Yeah.
Right, right.
No, of course. I mean, it's always great to talk. I mean, I'm always excited come around January. It's when you guys have the annual shows in the industry and you're launching new product, to see what the team is working on, because it's always something innovative. It's always something kind of pushing creativity, to your point, and boundaries of what we can do with the golf ball, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're not the biggest, so we have to be innovative, and it's one of the things I really am proud of our team is they do come up with some new ideas that are a lot of fun, and it's fun. Sometimes it's fun to be the underdog.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it was great to catch up with you here. We're so happy you could make it. I think a lot of people around are going to be very happy with some of the swag that's left behind, but we'll continue to be brand ambassadors and serve the Bridgestone Golf and Bridgestone purpose in getting the brand out.
Well,
there,
so. I'm so honored to having been included in this wonderful podcast.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming by. Well, I know we'll talk again soon. We'll have to see how this becomes a regular recurring situation.
So. Let's team up again soon.
You got it. Done and done.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Keith.
So whether you are shaking off the rust from the winter off season or looking to take your first ever swings, maybe at a Top Golf or a simulator, you can find out more about Bridgestone Golf, its history, its products, and even pick up some branded swag by checking them out online at bridgestonegolf.com. If you like this chat, be sure to listen to some of our other conversations wherever it is you listen to podcasts. And remember, you can also watch episodes on our Bridgestone YouTube page. Wherever you hear us, feel free to give us a rating or a review, tell us how we're doing, or you can always send a question or feedback via email to thrivepodcast@bfusa.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Keith Cawley, reminding you to keep on keeping on. And remember that at Bridgestone, today, tomorrow, together, we thrive. Be good, everybody.